Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. Obviously, getting a little late. Andy Reid's press conference ran late. Move some things around a little bit. But before we get to the audio fun bag, I thought Andy did give us a hint on what is likely to happen come Sunday night at left tackle. I've been saying throughout the show today, I think DJ Humphreys just has to start at this point. Josh Williams, to me, should be starting at corner on Sunday night. Andy was asked definitively, hey, do you think DJ Humphreys will start on Sunday night?
Listen, last week was a short week, so we didn't have a whole lot of time to, for the fast part of the game practices, and so this week he'll have a, I'll have a better idea as we go, and he'll have a better idea. So how he feels, and then we just go from there. We'll just see how it all works out.
There was a follow up to that as well from I can't remember which reporter. There was a follow up from a reporter during that after, and was like, hey, do you think, is there a chance? And it seemed to be Andy hinting that Humphreys, if he feels okay, was basically how Andy said it, like, quote, if he feels okay, he would have a chance. So I take that, and if you were listening with us in the last half hour to that press conference, I took that as Andy basically saying, hey, if DJ Humphreys is practicing and there's no setback and he feels like he's up to speed, he feels good about it, he's playing left tackle. That's how I took it. If for some reason Humphreys isn't playing, it means that there was something in a practice, a little bit of a setback, and maybe didn't feel as confident as he should. I think DJ Humphreys is starting at left tackle. Andy even said, hey, it's not really fair to DJ Humphreys to tell, like right now, already say publicly he's starting at left tackle because they haven't had a full week. He already worked in last week. Now they've had a little more time to get him ready for Sunday Night Football. So I'll be honest, I'd be surprised. We'll ask Nate Taylor tomorrow and see if he read it the same way I did, and I think a lot of you did as well. I would be very surprised now if DJ Humphreys was not starting at left tackle on Sunday night, and that will be a huge story heading into the game. What's his performance look like, and did that change everything, perhaps? And that's asking a ton from DJ Humphreys, but that was one thing that stood out. Other than that, I'll be honest, not a whole lot from Andy and some other areas. Only a part that stood out to me was the rushing attack, because I had mentioned that, I thought the two times this year where their offense, the two things this offense has looked best doing, throwing the ball up to D-Hop, either actually getting the production directly in terms of the stat sheet, like they did against the Raiders, or drawing the penalty, drawing a holding, a DPI. The other thing is when they've run the ball effectively. They didn't do that against the Raiders, and Andy was asked about it again, and the Raiders did try to shut down the run. They brought an extra man in the box to do so, but I still think they bailed on the run too early. Andy seemed to acknowledge at least a little bit that obviously they had to do a better job in that area. I think that's when they've been at their best, is when Kareem Hunt, in this case now Isaiah Pacheco, when they've had a truly complimentary rushing attack, and that to me has absolutely been, we've discussed them moving the ball the best, and looking the few times this year when they've moved the ball with ease and things like that, those outliers have been when they've been able to really lean on the running game. And I think that's something that they'll get back to. I think they have to get back to. And then if you do that and you maybe get a little bit better left tackle play, that's where suddenly the offense is looking better. But we'll see. Those are just a couple things that stood out to me, at least, from Andy Reid's press conference. If you miss any part of that, if you miss any part of the show so far today, of course, it'll be podcasted up on the Odyssey app. And you can also find it on 96.5 The Fan website. Let's get to the audio fun bag, though. Boy, oh boy. Drew, we got a ton from the weekend that was, a long holiday weekend. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving again. Let's start with college football. And we'll get back into the debate post game now around Ohio State and Michigan with the flag planting and the pepper spray that we did earlier. But the audio fun bag centers around Gus Johnson.
Warren looking, and it's intercepted at the goal line. Unbelievable. Wow, Jack Sawyer, the hero, Captain Jack.
That was Gus on Fox.
Captain Jack.
I mean, he lost. He lost his voice.
At the goal line, unbelievable. The hero, Captain Jack.
All-timer. That was. Gus got really back was. In his bag from 10 years ago. He got back in the bag a little bit.
Oh,
there.
It was
that
great.
Was great. That was
then
so
there,
good.
I mean, then also there was another moment of the game from Gus.
Can't turn it over. They'll hand it off. And look at the second effort. Mullings down the sideline out of bounds at the Ohio State 15.
Gus.
I love Gus Johnson.
Got That's us ready so for that Ohio State-Michigan game. That is for sure. Now, back here locally, there was a moment during the Amazon Prime broadcast, Thursday Night Football. I know we all know the story. Steve Spagnuolo, his wife's reportedly an unbelievable cook, and that multiple players have enjoyed the Italian food and everything. But did you know they almost have like a little Italian dish bounty going on? Did you hear? This was on the broadcast.
Discovered a secret ingredient to the Chiefs' success. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo's wife, Maria. Her homemade banana pudding is delivered every week to the facility. And she cooks up an entire Italian meal for the player with the best hit in each win. After last Sunday, that was Justin Reed. And get this, even Antonio Pierce, who played for Spagnuolo with the Giants, told us he is looking forward to a brown bag with that pudding inside after this game.
That would motivate me.
Al Michaels with a little line there at the end. We've known about the banana pudding story and stuff, and I've known about the food. I guess I didn't realize that there is basically like, I'm joking, obviously, a little bit, but there's like a hit bounty for Italian food. You get a big hit, you get Italian food.
No, I read it as that way as well. Do you think that Antonio Pierce got his bag of banana pudding?
I bet he did. I don't doubt that it happened at all. Elsewhere for the audio fun bag, Dan Hurley, the head coach at UConn.
Oh, man.
So UConn was in the Maui Invitational, which is one of the better early season tournaments you can go to. And UConn struggled, to say the least. They did not win a game. Okay, they played in the seventh place game against Dayton and lost. So then Dan Hurley, who of course just takes, you know, like overall, he's good for the sport because the antics on the sideline are intriguing, compelling. I also wonder if the act is running old for non-Connecticut fans. If you're a UConn fan, you love it. He's winning national title after national title. But it sounds like he's like crying, whining, taking the ball and going home kind of thing. Now he says he doesn't want to play in those type of tournaments ever again.
Maybe that I'm not doing another three-game MTE again. And that moving forward, we will only play home and homes and single game events in big time arenas. I don't think I'll ever do a three game MTE again unless I'm not coaching here at some point somewhere else. There's zero chance I'll do that again.
I mean, he didn't get a win in Maui, and I'm never doing those tournaments again.
What the hell did he just lean into at the end? If I'm not coaching here anymore, like, are you debating going somewhere else? Or if you go to another school, are you going to do those events still? Like,
I don't know.
I feel like that was almost unnecessary at the end. Like, if I was a UConn fan, I'd be like, yeah, we love you, but that was odd. It's one of those things you raise your eyebrow at a little bit.
So that is the audio fun bag from the weekend. Thank you, Gus. Gus Johnson providing a lot of the material there. It really was unbelievable. We'll get to the Ohio State-Michigan game after what's trending, because I want to talk about the ending. There's now national coverage on it, not just from sports outlets, but news outlets around the flag planting incident in that game and others. It sparked a brawl, and then the pepper spray was used. What, there's talk of banning flag planting, all of that. I want to get into that again a little bit later. But also this weekend, I think it was another moment where you should be proud of Kansas City. Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm a little biased because I was in the Hallmark movie, and by in it for like a second and a half walking on the sidewalk. And Carrington's got his movie podcast. I guess I'm on his movie podcast coming up this week to talk about it. But the Chiefs love story, Hallmark movie, came out on Saturday night. I was at the premiere with Cody and Fesco, and it was really, really cool. Well done by Hallmark, the actual premiere. As Cody and I were saying, the event was very fancy. I don't know how we were invited to it, because it was basically Chiefs players and Clark Hunt, the Hunt family, and Andy Reid, and other actors, and a lot of people that net worth is a million times more than ours. But we were there. We appreciate the invite. We had a great time at it. And the Hallmark movie, if you're from Kansas City, or you're a Chiefs fan, or you just like sports and how it ties people together, I think you'll enjoy the Hallmark movie. Maybe you watched it when it premiered on Saturday night. If not, I think it's streaming on Peacock now. You can also catch it on Hallmark Channel. There were cameos from Andy Reid and Trey Smith, the Mecole Hardman and the mayor, Donna Kelsey. It was really, really well done. It's your typical Hallmark movie, right? If you want something upbeat that's going to be fun, yeah, it's a little cheesy. It's a typical Hallmark Christmas movie, but I thought this one tied into what we all have as sports fans, which is like either something that we're superstitious about, or we know someone that's about it, or just overall, we all have great family memories because of sports. And in this case, because of the Chiefs. It can be different for everybody, but if you've grown up in this town, you know, watching that movie, like you can relate not just to the Chiefs part, but the overall theme of it, right? And how sports brings people together. And I thought they did a great job of getting that across in the film as well. And yeah, there was some cool historical elements to it with some Chiefs highlights from the past. And obviously some of the memorabilia that they had in there. I thought it was really, really well done. Drew, I know you ended up watching it as well. Some of you on the text line said you've watched it and you were surprised actually how long you ended up watching or whatever. And I think that's great. I think if you watched a Hallmark Christmas movie before, you knew what you were getting yourself into. I thought this one was even better because, of course, it was tied into Kansas City. And once again, Kansas City was front and center, which was really neat. So many moments here over the last 5 to 10 years where Kansas City has had an international or national spotlight. And whether it was the draft sports wise recently, World Cup coming up, so many different things. And sports has been a big reason for that. And I think the Hallmark movie was that as well. Plus, Hallmark, we all know, is local to Kansas City. So it makes sense that they filmed the movie in Kansas City and had this tie-in. And I think everybody was thrilled with how it turned out. And yeah, it was cool to see my car and myself walking on the sidewalk for like half a second.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for you to be in a movie and it, you know, it's cool, obviously. It's a flex for the dating
apps. Someone says, which scene? If you watch the movie, again, you got to be looking for me to find. If you watch the movie, there's a scene where they're in downtown Independence, or Independence Square, I guess. And there's a scene with the waitress and they're drinking coffee, the mother and then the daughter. If you watch the film, you know what I'm talking about. And there's a wider shot of the street and you see a black Mazda. And then you see someone walking down the sidewalk. Me and another lady are walking down the sidewalk. And that's it. That's me. And then when they zoom in on the actors talking, you can see my hand. And then slight for like a 0.25 seconds, you can see my face in that part. So that's it. It was fun. We filmed it in July. 95 degrees outside. The cast was so complimentary at the panel discussion after the premiere of Kansas City. I thought that was just really cool. They were so complimentary of KC. They said people were tailgating, Drew, on set. Like, there were people that just wanted to be around the film. They were tailgating. That's only a Kansas City thing. Only a Kansas City thing. Got to meet some of the actors as well at the event, which was pretty neat.
People want to know what you said to the girl, the lady that you were walking with.
We were acting. We're not really talking. We were fake talking. Yeah.
Yeah,
pantomiming, I believe, is the right word, right?
Yeah, but did you say anything, or did you just move your mouth?
Move your mouth. There's sometimes like light, softly, like you can't be loud. There was sometimes softly, yeah, where you were talking like they had us like pretend we were shopping and walking that in a good mood, and it's Christmas time, and so there was shops to our right, and so that's why you see me point, like we stop and look at this fake thing in the window, like yeah, that was amazing, like yeah, my gosh, that was basically what we did over and over. We did that over and over, walking back and forth, for hours and hours, and then there it was. Then they said, hey, does anybody have a car they can park in front on set? I said, sure. I did. I actually got paid extra. It turns out I didn't know that at the time to park my car.
Somebody said, is it cool bearded gold or weak shaved gold? Is
that today? Oh, today?
No, I believe in the film.
Clean cut, clean shaved in the movie. Today is definitely like 5 o'clock shadow, lazy.
And didn't they say they wanted you to be clean shaved?
Correct.
Isn't that a thing? Yeah, that's what it was.
Because we all applied. They had you had to send in headshots. And then,
Oh, believe me, it's not a problem for me to be clean shaven.
Yeah, we've had that text line says, the noises that Drew can hear through the walls. Nope, that was not it. Yep. Someone says, did the movie reference the new stadium in Kansas? No. No, it did. No, it did not.
Let's go to Kansas to the new Chiefs Stadium. No. Oh, okay.
But it was cool, though. They kept, they changed the names of the restaurants and shops for obvious reasons, but they still said, they didn't make up, it was supposed to tie in and show what a tailgating atmosphere could be. For those of you that were extras at Arrowhead, you know what I'm talking about. But also, they mentioned Independence, and then they're like, oh, there's one point, I don't want to spoil the whole movie. They're like, hey, let's go someplace fun. I don't know where to go. And they go to Crown Center, and that's where you saw the Christmas tree, and they had the mayor had a cameo in that moment as well. There was, I thought it was really funny. Again, you know what you're going into. It's a Hallmark Christmas movie. Yeah, there's going to be cheesy elements, but that's what you expect. But it had really cool tie-ins to Kansas City, and obviously it was all about the Chiefs, and I thought it was very, very well done. You should watch it. I think it's a good family Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Someone says, who is the lady you were walking with? Very nice lady. I believe her husband maybe owns a brewery in town as well. I had a chance to talk to them throughout or whatever. So yeah, very, very nice. I think it was cool for everybody to be part of it. A lot of the people there had never done anything. There was a few people that were like models or had acted before that were part of our scene that if you will. Then there was a lot of us that were never done anything before. Just wanted to be part of something cool.
So they're saying that you potentially, there's people that were in the multiple films. So here we go.
Some of the other extras were actually part of a cast. They had been part of a casting agency or modeling in the past and had done commercials before. Yeah.
How jealous was Cody? I think he was very jealous. If you want my opinion, I think he was
at the event with me. We all had a good time at the event. I think he was happy. He was at the premiere as well. The premiere was way nicer than we thought. That was a really cool event. That was neat. We have some items from the premiere that'll be in the Cody Gold garage sale. I'll point that out. So, There were some things handed out at the premiere that will make their way into the garage sale next spring when we do our fundraiser to benefit the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
You know good and well, though, that Cody might have been happy on Saturday night. In the moment when you got accepted, I think he was, I think there was a, mo- there had to be a moment where I think Cody was hurt a little bit. Because Cody had the idea in the first place. He wanted it.
Yeah, the whole story behind that was the Chiefs or the Hallmark announced the movie in the summertime. And 2 seconds after the announcement, Cody's reaction was, how can I get in it? I need to be in it. And we gave him a hard time because that's your first reaction.
Yeah.
Then we said, why don't we all apply? That's the background. He said, you guys made fun of me for wanting to be in it. I said, no. We were giving you a hard time because your first reaction was, how can you get in the movie?
Yeah.
Then we all decided to apply. I was fortunate enough to get picked. And yeah. That's kind of how it went down. It's a very cool thing. I think I might be on with Dana and Parks.
He was on vacation
this afternoon to talk about it some more. He also was out of town. That didn't help.
Yeah.
They were here filming for, I don't know, the extras were for 3 or 4 weeks. Our thing was just, the thing I did was just a day in Independence. We got there 6 o'clock and 6:30 in the morning. I was done by 5. I was wearing jeans and a sweater in 95 degree weather and a pea coat. It was very hot. But it was worth it. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, you should check it out. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. I want to talk more about what happened at the end of that Michigan-Ohio State game. Plus, we'll get back into one thing that is changing for the Chiefs.
We're going to get to what's trending. Just give me a second. Drew! I was clearly slacking during break.
It is time for what's trending. Hey, there we go.
I realized oh no, and I'm waiting for it to load. And I'm like, no.
Live radio, baby. All right. What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Let's start with college football. I don't think it's surprising news, but news out of Columbia, Missouri today. Talented wide receiver Luther Burden III announcing he will skip the team's bowl game and declare for the 2025 NFL draft. Everybody knew this was going to ultimately be the end game for him. He's going to be. I still think a top 10 pick. I know some mocks had him sliding further down. He didn't have the best season, but man, I think once the combine hits, and I don't know if he's going to be in the Senior Bowl or not and everything like that, I think he might be a top 10 pick. I would still, if like right now, if they gave me betting odds over under like 13 and a half draft slot, I would take the under. Like I think he'll end up being a top 10 pick, but he will not play in the team's bowl game. The first of many announcements. Many announcements. Who knows? Maybe your Cincinnati Bengals will draft him even.
That would be a bad decision. They have a lot more problems than they need to get figured out first. But yeah, sure.
If you missed it, by the way, earlier in the show, we had a fish instead of trash of the day. I let Drew do a Bengals funeral. I told him it was time, and he officially buried the Cincinnati Bengals 2024 season.
Yeah, that happened.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I really did. Next up on What's Trending, Christian McCaffrey, unfortunately, looks like his season is over. We all know he missed a majority of the season already with an Achilles injury. Then he came back, and last night in the Bills' blowout win over the 49ers, early on, the Niners came out for the first drive and looked strong. He was running. He had over 50 yards on the ground. Then he let up on a play, and it turns out PCL injury, and Kyle Shanahan saying it likely is season ending. Just a brutal year for him after an unbelievable 2023, and that Niners team is in some trouble, not just for this year, but they're going to have to regroup going forward. Quarterback's going to start making over $60 million a year. Trent Williams is not getting any younger. Kittle's not getting younger. They paid Brandon Ayuk, but he missed this season due to injury, and the few games he played, he was not productive. They've got some issues, to say the least, there in San Francisco. Next up on What's Trending, I'll mention one other thing. The Royals today announced a couple of team awards that are out there. That would be the 2024 team awards. Seth Lugo, Bruce Rice Pitcher of the Year, Bobby Wood Jr., the Les Milgram Player of the Year, and Cole Reagans, the Joe Burke Special Achievement Award winner. I don't think anybody's surprised by those three team awards that were announced by the Royals organization. Maybe later on this week, we'll talk some more Royals baseball. I was gone, as I said, when the Jonathan India news came out with the trade. It happened on a Friday night, and I was out last week due to the holiday. There's some rumblings about some other moves, maybe. There's also a report on a player that maybe they're not in on anymore, so maybe we'll get to that tomorrow or throughout the week. Drew and I will be hosting the next couple of days. Cody should be back with us, and I shouldn't say should, will be back with us on Thursday.
It's that time of year, man.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Oh, yeah, man. Holiday times. Hope everybody had a great week. I know I keep saying that, but it was good to step away. It was a great weekend sports-wise. There was a ton going on. Hope you had a chance to spend some time with the family. Did you do any Black Friday shopping? Like, it's not like what it used to be.
No, it's
not. Back in the day, I bought a TV from Best Buy way back when, 2015, 2016 probably, and I was out there like 3 a.m. camping out. Now you just go online and buy it, and usually the deals are out way before Black Friday anyway.
Yeah, there is a big not a big thing, but I saw on like Twitter on Black Friday Taylor Swift's like Eras book had come out.
Oh, and that was one thing you did have to get in line for if you wanted it.
Okay, because it was weird.
That was not so, online. That
it was not okay because people there were
in store only for a while
because people were showing like themselves going to Target or whatever. Like, oh no, I gotta.
It was a Target exclusive.
I gotta shove away people, but there's nobody there in the video. It's like I gotta get rid of everybody.
Someone did the math on that, just that sale, like around the book and everything or whatever it was. That doesn't mean she profited this, but there might have been $50 million worth of sales, I think. Based off of the retail price, at least, of all the different items that were, I guess, available.
I would assume
that. I mean, she's not only is she incredibly talented in terms of vocally, she's one of the smartest business people, too. It's incredible.
I would assume that this is only one of these books, but somebody showed books that this is unfortunate. The cover was on backwards, and it was upside down.
The like in the photo or like the
no the whole. So if you wanted to, if you get the book and it's got Taylor Swift on the cover, you open up the cover. It's the end of the book, not the beginning.
Is that by design?
No, because
every copy or just some?
Well, I don't know. All I saw was that. Basically, whoever put it together put the cover on incorrectly. Huh. And the back of the cover, you open the cover, it's the back of the book, actually, not the front.
Huh. Oh. And I mean, did you buy a book?
I did not. I saw that. I looked at some of the comments of that video, and then somebody was like, yeah, my book was upside down, and the cover was on backwards.
Hmm. No, I did not see
anyways,
that.
Yeah, Black
someone
Friday's
asked, did I buy new headphones? I did. Yeah, if you're watching the video stream, we don't have the left side is not obviously causing problems. And I realized how much, like, now that, because these are the same headphones I had before. I just bought it. It's been 3 years.
The case is nice as well. You actually get a case with it?
The other one came with a case, too. And I just needed new ones. The other one, like, these are, it sounds weird, but, like, you can tell how bad the other ones were once you realize, like, how loose the other headphones got.
Looking at, I can tell
and
as well.
This fits much tighter. And I'll be honest, the other ones were red. They had gold ones. Yes. So
makes complete sense.
I definitely, the inner part is gold. And yes, I purposely bought gold headphones. Sorry. Had to do it.
It just makes sense.
Had to do that. All right. Let's talk some college football for a second, because this has become more of a non-sports story too. I'm talking about Michigan and Ohio State in particular, but there were four different college football games, right, that had flag planting incidents. For those that aren't aware, basically after the Michigan Ohio State game, Michigan, who was in Columbus for the game, planted their flag at midfield, right? It's not the first time we've ever seen this happen, but it happened. And understandably so, Ohio State players were not happy about it. Now, if you want to oversimplify the situation, you would just say, well, play better. What do you expect? You lost. I get it. Like, that's an easy, and that's true. It's a fact. But that's not the reality of how these play out with 18 to 20 year old kids with emotions of playing football. The problem was a brawl started, and it wasn't just like the, you know, pushing and shoving we've seen before. This lasted for multiple minutes, as in the Fox broadcast was on it the whole time. And there were some players and staff members ended up getting pepper sprayed, and that upset a lot of people. And everybody's like, whoa, what's going on here? And now there's an article I saw from Ross Dellinger at Yahoo Sports that said that now it's leading to conversations in the college athletic circles on should they ban this? And basically, there's a debate on this. Should there be punishment other than the punishment that's going to come from this incident? Like, should there be true banning of flag planting because it causes problems? I don't know what the end result is going to be. I think some people are being disingenuous with their quotes, like Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, when he said, quote, if you want to plant a flag, play capture the flag or join the military or fly to the moon. I think that's just like a ludicrous quote from Greg Sankey, considering his fans and his conference have thrown bottles on the field when they didn't like a call. So let's not act like the SEC, you know, is, you know, top tier in terms of handling conduct. I've told you, like, I don't disagree that people's thought of pepper spray, like, hey, was it needed? Like, I don't disagree. Like, I get that reaction. Like, I don't know if it was needed. However, I'll play the other side, and I totally understand there's a point where what do you expect to have happen? Because it seemed like most people were just upset with the fact that some players got pepper sprayed, and they're like, that's uncalled for. This happened after the game. And so my question for those that are mad about the pepper spray part of it would be, when's the line then for you? Like, fortunately, nobody got seriously hurt. I'm not clutching my pearls over here about someone planting their flag. I don't care that somebody planted their flag. What I'm saying is, were the sheriffs and the police officers that were there supposed to just stand and watch a bunch of physically gifted individuals with helmets on just beat each other up? By the way, this was not just the normal, like, pushing and shoving. So when's the line if you're like, hey, there's no way they should have done that? Is it when someone rips off the helmet and they swing it at somebody and someone gets seriously hurt? When is it okay to do that? That's my only thing for those saying, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they would have pepper sprayed anybody. Well, there's, I don't know, 20 police officers, 200 football players or whatever combined on the two teams or whatever, including staff. What did you expect to have happen if a fight is happening for 4 or 5 minutes? When the game's over. In game, if there's pushing and shoving in a fight, no, the police don't need to run on the football field to discipline.
Oh, of course
it.
Not.
After the game, though, like, when do we draw the line? So I actually didn't have as much of an issue as others with the way it was handled.
I just think that there's a way, like, was there actually any attempt to de-escalate the situation, or was it just,
I think so.
Or was it just chaos?
It looked like staff members and police initially were trying to, like, you know, hey. Yeah. Break it up. And that wasn't working. And it got escalated when the Ohio State player grabbed the Michigan flag and ripped it. And that, of course, caused everybody to get even more upset.
Yeah, I just think there's a way that you that could have de-escalated the situation without needing to use pepper spray. I get the fact that they used the pepper spray if they felt like they had to do it. I understand. And that's their prerogative. I don't know. I just felt like there's a way that they could still de-escalate the situation because other situations were de-escalated. When, again, it wasn't a free-for-all and there were, like, you know, there were multiple instances of people, you know, punching other players and stuff. But it's not like we didn't see in the other four instances other players or other staff grab the flag and put it away. Like, Florida planted a flag against Florida State. Mike Norvell went up and grabbed the flag, threw it on the ground. And the same thing happened with Arizona State. In Arizona, the pitchfork, another Arizona player grabbed the pitchfork and tossed it off to the side. And there were some, you know, some punches thrown. A Notre Dame player when they're playing USC, a USC guy's just on the ground and a Notre Dame player just straight up jabs him in the face. Like, I think that there's a way that you can de-escalate a situation without having to just get used to use pepper spray, in my opinion.
I think a lot of times I would agree with you, but when do you say, hey, this... You know, if you are in any other scenario, right, and you're trying to de-escalate, it's a huge fight. Imagine if you were not on a football field, you're at a bar where 100 people were fighting. What do you think the easiest way to de-escalate it would be if law enforcement was there? They probably would use pepper spray. I know we want to act like, oh, this is not the same thing. I'll push back on that. The game was over. This wasn't the simple of, like, he grabbed the flag and there was some shoving. If it's going on for 3-4 minutes, I don't know the exact length, but it wasn't 30 seconds. If it's going on for multiple minutes, at some point, what did people expect to have happen? Law enforcement's supposed to just let people keep shoving each other and throwing punches and until it becomes worse. There's also a report that maybe there was someone on the ground that was in danger of getting trampled, and so they were trying to make sure that they stayed away, and that was how they got them away. Like, that is a way to de-escalate it. Do I think the coaching staff and administrative staffs on the field should have done a much better job? Yeah, like, we've seen times where the coach will try to gather his team and bring in, like, hey, we're done, let's go to the locker room kind of thing. That didn't happen here either. So people are very bent out of shape with the fact that some players were pepper sprayed. I think it's unfortunate. I've never been pepper sprayed, so I'm not saying that it's not probably a terrible thing to have happen to you. But you can't just keep fighting and expect law enforcement to stand there and not do anything for minutes and minutes and
minutes. Somebody's saying, find the players. The schools were fined $100,000 each by the Big Ten.
What's that?
The schools were both fined $100,000.
Okay.
For the instance.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising. It doesn't do a whole lot, but yeah. Ryan Day, don't let this distract from Ryan Day's ineptitude of winning against Michigan, though.
Yeah, to me, I think it's more the onus of the, and maybe the police felt like, look, we need to step in because the coaches and staff aren't doing their job. Because I'll be honest, Ryan Day, they show Ryan Day, he's standing there doing, he is literally doing nothing. He is letting all hell break loose around him. He's standing there doing nothing, and they show the camera on him. He didn't even know what's going on. And then he knows what's going on, and then he gets told what's going on. He turns around and just stands there. There's no, like, hey, guys, break it up, get off the field.
That's what I'm saying. None of the coaches were, and I know they're outnumbered.
Maybe what it took for the police to be like, okay, the coaches and staff are just letting this thing go. We need to step in and do this. Understandable. I just think there's a way to de-escalate the situation if properly done without the use of pepper spray, but it does require...
But that wasn't happening, yeah.
It requires the cooperation of the staff and the coaches to be able to do what they're supposed to do, and that's get off the
field.
And
so when that de-escalation wasn't happening, then I don't have as big of an issue as some people do with how it looked like law enforcement was handling breaking up what was a fight. Let's call it that. It was a fight that was happening after the football game. So we'll see. Someone says, though... you know, that they should, you know, the players should have some NIL money taken away. So here's the reason why that can't happen under current circumstances. Remember, through NIL, I know we all know it circles back to the school, but the school is not paying the players, right? There are these collectives that are paying the players. If you do that, then that goes back to the whole employee argument thing and whether or not they're employees. And until there's a true reform with the NIL system, whether that comes at a national level, and I think it will ultimately, because right now it's state by state, until there's some, like, contract with the school in that way, I don't believe legally they could do that. That's something down the road that could be used as a punishment. Like, hey, if you know, in addition to getting suspended, could you lose some money from NIL? Right now, they don't have the means to do that. I don't know if that's a road we want to go down anyway, but they definitely need to reform the whole NIL system unrelated to this incident anyway.
I'm going to be totally honest. The schools are fined $100,000. They're not getting, that's not even close to getting suspending players. Like, they're not going to suspend a single player on either team for their
bowl games. I don't think so.
I don't think it's
Kirk Herbstreit came out and said that.
Oh, of course he did.
You see Kirk Herbstreit, who, by the way, we all know, Ohio State. connection. He, of course, says that there should be players suspended.
Schools are both worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You find them $100,000. They get fined $100,000 for. I think SEC teams get fined maybe more money for storming the field. There's no fights going on at all whatsoever. It's just storming the field. So I feel like there's. I get why you would want them to be suspended or why you'd want NIL taken away. We're not even like if we're only giving schools $100,000 fines. Then finding players or we're suspending players for this stuff.
They can't find players right now. Like that's the one. Like literally, they can't.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
There's no way they can find players that they're not getting paid by the school. I know we all act like they do, but they're not technically getting paid. They're getting paid by NIL, these collectives and these NIL deals and partners in the community, etc. Until there's like a true contract with the schools other than scholarship. Like that's why they can revoke a scholarship because. It's actually signed up through the school.
Well, again, though, and we see this all the time in college athletics, and you can call it screwed up. If you're a star player for that team, there's a lot of stuff that can go away in a quick hurry.
Of course.
And it's not right, but it can go in a quick hurry. So if you think the school is going to suspend a star player because they threw a punch against a rival, I just don't think it's going to – I don't think that would happen.
Yeah. Could there be lawsuits? I don't know. People can obviously sue for whatever. Like, maybe. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if there's some legal repercussion in terms of that. If somebody wants to, somebody representing a player, if they want to go after for being pepper sprayed, I just like, good luck against winning that. Like, I think there was absolutely a reason that they resorted to pepper spray to try to disperse what was a fight going on after a football game. All right, we're back at it tomorrow, guys. Tomorrow on the show, we got a couple things planned. We're expected to have our NFL insider Vinny Pasquantino join us. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, will go to Hall 32, talk about some more of the NFL headlines. And then I do want to talk more about college football for the local schools, as well as what unfortunately was evident on Saturday, which is under this new college football system, Ohio State losing really doesn't mean anything. And that's the unfortunate thing. Talk to you guys tomorrow, 10 to 2, right here on 96.5 The Fan.